This is Ted Kennedy. An emerging idea in healthcare reform is managed competition. Will Senator Al Simpson go along, or is it too much government intervention for his right-wing taste? In a moment, we'll face off. Al, let's see where you stand on one of the most widely praised new ideas in healthcare reform. It's called managed competition. It sounds like a contradiction in terms, and some of you right-wingers are already opposed because it taps your knee-jerk socialized medicine reflex. Nonsense, Al. Government steps in to regulate many areas where competition doesn't work. That's why we have antitrust laws. No one thinks competition is working in healthcare. Most patients don't shop around for doctors or hospitals. Doctors and hospitals charge all they want. Insurance companies are all too willing to pay the bill and pass on the cost in the form of higher premiums. Managed competition. It's a realistic way to make healthcare accessible and affordable.
Ted, I'm certainly not opposed to managed competition, if competition is what you really are after. The problem, as I see it, is that you and your Democrat cronies really only want to manage U.S. healthcare, using pretty heavy-handed price-fixing tricks to boot. That is a failed strategy that only strangles competition. Ted, I do hope, as you do, that this is the year we finally reform healthcare. I am ready and willing to work with you on this issue. But before you say we Republicans don't like your idea, you should worry more about your Democrat colleagues in the House who could not come up with any consensus on this very issue last year. If we do go along with managed competition, let's make darn sure that price controls don't only create a greater bureaucracy. Let us know when you get your little game together. We're ready to play on the same team. Your ball. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on how American capitalists are running scared now that the Democrats are running America. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. In a capitalistic society, should the true free market decisions be dictated by the government and politics instead of by the consumers? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, Bill Clinton made a pretty big deal about the rich not paying enough taxes. Now that the Democrats will be running the country, America's capitalists are just plain running. The problem I always have with your nearsighted tunnel vision is that American industry is forced to make business decisions based on government tax policy instead of on letting the competition expand the economy. One vivid example was Mike Eisner of Walt Disney, who exercised a multi-million-dollar stock option just to keep Clinton's tax hike from taking a bigger chew out of him. That was good money that Disney could have used for capital formation to create new jobs and new industry. Ted, the new administration has to keep the word free in free enterprise, not figure out how to steal more free money from taxpayers, rich or not.
Al, you have no shame. Even you ought to be embarrassed by that unseemly year-end stampede of wealthy corporate executives. They're dodging their fair share of taxes by exercising hundreds of millions of dollars in juicy stock options that supplement their lavish salaries. George Bush vetoed the major tax bill that would have changed all that, Al. Bill Clinton will sign it, and those executives know it. Frankly, we ought to stop that kind of tax avoidance by making the Clinton tax reform retroactive. Senator Lloyd Benson has already said the new tax breaks for investment should be retroactive. Why not use the same principle of retroactivity and stop those super-rich executives and their corporations from raiding the Treasury? Long-suffering ordinary families are being ripped off too, Al. Their taxes are too high because those wealthy executives and corporations are paying too little. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on Christmas Eve in Somalia. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy with a Christmas Eve message of peace on earth. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, our thoughts on Christmas Eve are with our armed forces serving thousands of miles from home in Somalia. It's a mission of mercy and more. That tragic land was once a pawn trapped in the Cold War between the United States and the Soviet Union, so we had special reason to help. Senator Nancy Kassenbaum of Kansas and President Mary Robinson of Ireland deserve credit for being among the first to call attention to the plight of Somalia through their visits earlier this year. President Bush deserves credit for approving the life-saving mission that only America could carry out. But most of all, journalists deserve credit for showing us what was happening in one small part of the global village we share. Peace on Earth has special meaning, Al. There's no better example of beating swords into plowshares than U.S. Armed Forces saving lives in Somalia.
Ted, I join with you in the hope every American will say a prayer tonight for all the families of American servicemen and women who are far from home this holiday season, whether serving in Somalia or anywhere else around this globe. On this historic eve of special peace, we remember that our nation stands united to preserve and protect freedom and the rights of men and women everywhere to be unchained from any form of tyranny. Indeed, we should give credit to our fine leaders who develop the world's policies, but let us never forget the simple fact that it is the foot soldier in the foxhole, the helicopter mechanic wiping the grease off their hands after a 12-hour shift, or the army nurse holding the hand of a wounded GI that makes these policies work. They are the ones missing Christmas with their families as we celebrate Christ's birth. Bless them. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the powerful message Christmas Day has for all Americans. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. I pray that all of our fine, gentle listeners are having a Merry Christmas. In a moment, jolly old Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, today is the most hallowed day of the Christian calendar, the birthday of Christ, a day in which people of all different races, religions, and ethnic backgrounds realize that they share the same eternal yearning and desire for peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Christmas is a day that brings people together as no other. Read Dickens' Christmas Carol one more time. Ted, there is no finer day than Christmas to place aside political and partisan differences, especially when we both share so many of the basic goals to make our world a better place. Since you and Vicky are still newlyweds, I hunch that you've worn a hole in the carpet underneath the mistletoe, eh, pal? And don't scarf up too many Christmas cookies or plum pudding. Remember, you have to fit your slim bod into that sharp inaugural tuxedo. Yo-ho! Ted, Ann, and I wish you, Vicky, and all the marvelous Kennedy clan a very Merry Christmas.
Al, many thanks for those warm wishes and for that generous greeting. It's nice to face off with you, playing Santa Claus for a change, compared to the other days of the year when I feel like I'm facing off with Scrooge. As you can tell, Al, I enjoy giving you the Dickens. This year, it's a deep South Christmas for my branch of the Kennedys. Vicky and I have been in Crowley, Louisiana, visiting her family and enjoying a wonderful stay. Like you, Al, our thoughts today are also with those far from home, especially in Somalia, where the message of hope and peace on earth is most needed. We may differ occasionally on the issues, but we share the same larger goals. On this special day, Al, may the star that guided the wise men 2,000 years ago bring us all greater wisdom in the difficult and challenging times ahead for our country and our planet. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the strange illnesses afflicting Persian Gulf veterans. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Even as we're concerned about our forces in Somalia, let's not forget the needs of veterans from the Persian Gulf. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, our forces on their humanitarian mission in Somalia are uppermost in our minds these days. All of us hope for their swift and safe return. But let's also remember the veterans who served in the Persian Gulf, Al. In recent months, many of us have become concerned by the growing number of illnesses affecting those who served in that war. Hundreds of Gulf veterans have turned up suffering a wide assortment of unexplained ailments. They deserve better assurances that their condition is being taken seriously and that appropriate care is available. All of us hope we've learned the painful lesson of Agent Orange in Vietnam and its tragic health effects on so many veterans. Those who serve America in far-off lands deserve more than our thanks when they come home, Al. They deserve decent care, too.
Ted, it looks like we need to haul you back to the future. It's obvious that old Rip Van Kennedy again dozed off for the past 2 years, so pal, let me tell you what you missed while snoring. Ted, shortly after the successful Persian Gulf War, Congress directed all of our 171 VA hospitals to offer immediate and total care to Persian Gulf vets. The Department of Veterans Affairs had even designated the VA hospitals in L.A., Houston, and D.C. to handle any and all of those unexplained ailments that you refer to. And, Ted, only last month, Congress passed a sweeping bill that President Bush signed to track the health of Persian Gulf vets so we can avoid any problems like Agent Orange in the future. Ted, this nation and the U.S. Congress have been totally responsive to deserving vets and always will be. To say we don't care and don't deliver is just plain phony. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on how the antitrust exemption for Major League Baseball is justifiably under attack. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. The antitrust exemption for baseball is under attack, and for pretty good reason. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, in recent years, the great game of baseball has taken a backseat to the business of baseball. By giving the thumb and a permanent benching to Commissioner Fay Vincent, the owners prove that their business interests are more important to them than the trivial concerns of the millions of fans. Since baseball owners have this special status under the law, Congress darn sure has the right to dig deep as to whether the antitrust exemption is serving the best interests of the American fan. Now, Ted, that does not mean micromanagement by Congress. We don't need that. Ted, what baseball must always have is an independently acting commissioner with real power to make the right decisions for our national pastime. If baseball is to be solely the property of 26 owners and not our national pastime to be protected for the fans, then I am very afraid the game will have already seen its best days. The business of greed will be its third strike.
Al, in recent years, baseball owners have thumbed their nose at fans and communities. If they're going to run baseball for profit and not for the fans, it's hard to justify exempting them from the same antitrust laws that apply to all other businesses. But that's no answer, Al. Revoking the antitrust exemption won't bring back the game. It'll just make baseball more of a business. What's needed is the strong and independent commissioner the owners don't want. They sacked Fay Vincent for acting in the best interests of baseball instead of higher profits. They want more games on pay TV. The owners outraged Florida by refusing to let the Giants be sold to the highest bidder there. Marge Schott's racist statement spoke volumes about unacceptable attitudes that continue to keep minorities out of management. If Congress has to step up to the plate, Al, let's hit a home run and insist on the strong commissioner baseball should have. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on Supreme Court appointments. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. One of President Bill Clinton's most important responsibilities is Supreme Court appointments. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, with all the hoopla over cabinet appointments, it's easy to lose sight of the fact that the most important appointments a president makes are likely to be his choices for the federal courts, especially the Supreme Court. Over the past 12 years, Presidents Reagan and Bush made a systematic effort to stack the federal courts with right-wing judges. The result was a shocking series of retreats and U-turns in many areas of the law, especially basic rights and individual liberties. The constitutional right to abortion was sharply cut back. Its very existence was left hanging by a 5-4 thread. Laws are the wise restraints that make us free, Al. One of President Bill Clinton's most important challenges is to do justice by appointing better judges.
Yeah, right, pal. Clinton's idea of appointing better judges is to make certain they can pass his special interest litmus test on abortion. Never will any president in our nation's history have such a narrow and appeasing appointment philosophy in terms of kowtowing to a single special interest. Ted, abortion rights are very important, but America sure wants to know if some left-wing, wide-eyed Supreme Court nominee is going to give ever more power to the federal government at the expense of the states, or if he or she might strip Americans of their Second Amendment rights to bear arms, or take a broad axe to our Fifth Amendment rights and give Uncle Sam the power to confiscate private property, or if they're going to let the victims of crime play second fiddle to convicted violent criminals. Americans are pretty passionate about these and some other issues too, Ted, and it's time Bill Clinton heard it all. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on whether college football should scrap the bowl games for a new playoff system. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. 'Tis the season two for debating whether a new playoff system should replace the bowl games in college football. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. We sure have kicked off another round of talk about playoffs giving bowl games the boot for postseason play by tooting the horn for an extended season of playoffs. The big-time sports writers and money crunchers are really only playing games with the education of the student athletes. Notice how student actually does come first. Ted, on New Year's Day, number 1 Miami, number 2 Alabama will face off in the Sugar Bowl, pretty much removing all doubt as to who the real champ should be. But even if we didn't have this great matchup, so what? Ted, if the players have to spend several more weeks of training just so we can have a final shootout in some grand greenback bowl to pick a squeaky clean winner, then the alleged education-first tradition that makes college football so special could well end up being terminally tarnished, if it's not already.
Al, one Super Bowl's enough. Let's leave playoffs to the NFL and keep college bowls as they are. The bulls have been making progress. For the first time, they formed a coalition to coordinate their bull bids in the interests of each other, instead of engaging in the sort of cutthroat competition for teams that was hurting them all. The chief result of that effort is the Sugar Bowl matchup between Miami and Alabama. For the first time in 5 years, and only the ninth time ever, the top two teams will meet in a game that will settle the national championship for sure. A separate playoff system might just have muddled the issue. The Bowl coalition spirit of cooperation didn't work perfectly, though. The Cotton Bowl passed up the chance to match numbers 3 and 4. As for me, Al, I'll be glued to the Hall of Fame Bowl and hoping Boston College wins. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on whether his New Year's resolutions will survive New Year's Day. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy, wondering whether Senator Al Simpson made any New Year's resolutions he'll keep. In a moment, we'll face off. Al, Happy New Year from our house to yours. I hope you made a few New Year's resolutions that lasted past midnight. First and foremost, this new year, 1993, brings a new administration. For the first time in 12 years, Al, you'll find yourself in the loyal opposition. The question is whether you'll be emphasizing the loyal part or the opposition part. In large part, Al, the length of President Bill Clinton's honeymoon depends on the answer that you and your Republican colleagues in the Senate give to that question. The Democratic majority in the House is large enough to pass the president's top priorities, starting with economic recovery, health care reform, and national service to pay back college loans. But Republican filibusters in the Senate can block progress on those or any other ideas. Take the pledge, Al. No filibusters in 1993. It's one New Year's resolution you won't regret.
No thanks, Padna. That old filibuster may be the only tool left to us for guarding the fiscal henhouse from you marauding Democrat foxes. Ted, what Americans really want is for you to finally take the pledge yourself to control your appetite, and I don't mean for just chow. Yes, your food diet has been a success. We're proud. And now it's time to show that same willpower by controlling your voracious appetite for raising taxes, spending, and unnecessary and costly regulations. If you Democrats can make that pledge, then filibusters by Republicans would be the very least of your worries. Really, Ted, with all of those wild Democrat campaign promises, it won't take a lot of creativity to think up a ton more of resolutions that you Dems don't intend to keep. Boy. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on why raising taxes will never help us shrink the deficit so long as liberals keep lurking in the weeds. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. With all the big spending Democrats in Congress, raising taxes will never help us to eliminate the deficit. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Quiz time. Ted, if you give Congress more tax revenue, will it A, sink it into the bottomless pit of more government spending, or B, use it to pay on the deficit? Silly question, ain't it, pal? Ted, we've only been able to prove one thing with absolute certainty. If we put $1 billion from new taxes on the table in front of liberals in Congress, they would most certainly blow it. Fact is, the worst thing you could possibly do in the anxiety to shrink the deficit is raise taxes. Liberals have never ever learned how to say no to the powerful special interests who will now demand that this money be spent on their cause. Ted, why is it every single time Congress raises taxes, the deficit only gets bigger? Because when you liberals are given an inch of new money, you'll spend a mile of it every single time.
Al, you Republicans always try to fight the deficit with one hand tied behind your back. Deficit reduction requires two things: effective restraint on spending and a fair distribution of the tax burden. Bill Clinton's election was also a victory for his economic plan, including higher taxes on the wealthy. It was a categorical rejection of George Bush's do-nothing approach and the fiasco over his on-again, off-again, no-new-taxes pledge. Reaganomics meant billions of dollars in excessive tax cuts for the wealthy and unfair tax burdens on everyone else. Bill Clinton's proposal to raise taxes on individuals earning over $200,000 a year makes eminent good sense as a part of a comprehensive deficit reduction plan. Give Clintonomics a try, Al. You may not like it better than Reaganomics, but the country will. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on interest rate gouging on your credit card bills. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. Ted Kennedy, banks are ripping off consumers by keeping credit card interest rates at 18% when savings rates are less than 3%. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, according to a recent study by the Consumer Federation of America, banks across the country are reaping record profits by charging exorbitant interest on consumer loans and paying extremely low interest on savings accounts and certificates of deposit. For example, credit card rates are over 18%. Saving rates are under 3%. In the past 3 years, CD rates dropped by two-thirds, from 9% to less than 3%. Yet credit card rates actually went up slightly, from 18% to 18.5%. Each percentage point rise in credit card rates means an additional $1.5 billion in higher profits. No wonder the banks won't cut those rates. It's unfair to consumers, and it's a drag on the economy.
Sure sounds an awful lot like old hat stuff for liberals in Congress. Unfair to consumers and a big drag on the economy. Yet, Ted, there is not a doubt that many banks engage in outright gouging on their credit cards. But before we reenact the Salem witch trial on the entire banking establishment, we, the consumers, need to ask ourselves a very simple question. Did we shop for the credit card with the lowest interest rate? Amazingly, Ted, nearly 80% of Americans say no. It's nuts. Fact is, there are plenty of banks out there that are offering credit cards with interest rates as low as 9%, but nobody is bothering to get off their duff to even have a look. As soon as the consumers wise up to the lower rates, these high-priced gouger banks will follow their lead. That's just simple old economics, pal. But your understanding of basic economics is something most sensible Americans would never want to bank on. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. America's missing in action in Vietnam is eternal anguish for some, while for others it's just cruel and ugly big business. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, the most recent sincere efforts of the U.S. government to learn what really happened to thousands of Americans unaccounted for in Vietnam has met with fresh success. Our Senate colleagues have been given unprecedented access to records and witnesses who can help us to piece this puzzle together. I commend John Kerry and Bob Smith and the committee. As we seek honest answers, some rip off the families and friends of MIAs for their own personal gain. One direct mail outfit raised over $10 million with a heart-wrenching but phony letter. Most of the money went only to pad more pockets and finance more solicitations not to look for MIAs. Ted, I am as committed as you are to finding out the truth of what happened to those left behind. But let's warn the public off of those who seek only a fast buck from this kind of terrible heartache.
Al, few people are more despicable than those parasites preying on the emotions of families whose loved ones are still listed as MIAs in Vietnam and other countries in Indochina. The wounds of that war still divide us, and they won't be closed until a full accounting is achieved with the full help of those nations. Only recently has the Vietnamese government begun to be forthcoming, and no one knows whether we'll ever learn the total truth. The Bush administration and Senators John Kerry and Bob Smith and the other members of their Senate investigating committee have made worthwhile new progress. I'm confident that the Clinton administration will build on their breakthrough and get the real answers denied for so long. The tragedy of our MIAs has been compounded by unscrupulous organizations at home and overseas. They've falsified evidence and conducted fraudulent fundraising scams. Jail is too good for those bums, Al, but it's where they belong. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. President-elect Bill Clinton has a far-reaching idea for higher education. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, one of the best core ideas in President-elect Bill Clinton's agenda for change is to make college education accessible to all Americans. He'd guarantee any qualified student the chance to go to college by offering government loans to pay tuition and other costs. After graduation, students would pay back the loans by devoting 2 years to public service in their communities or by making regular payments from their future salaries. The payment could be adjusted to their earnings to avoid undue financial pressure that distorts career decisions and forces students into highest-paying jobs. Paying off education loans through public service is already working well in health care. The National Health Service Corps pays for medical school. The idea can work for many other students, Al. Let's give it a chance.
chance. It's more like a game of chance. Ted, you cleverly failed to point out that the National Health Service Corps has over 1,000 students who still owe back payments on their medical school debt. All combined, this one program is owed $161 million by some deadbeat doctors who make boatloads of bucks, enough to wipe out the whole slate. If you can't get them to pay back a loan or do community service, how do you possibly believe that students with bachelor's degrees will do it? And Ted, let's not forget the default rate on undergrad student loans. It now totals over $2 billion a year. Now, there is a lot of the money that could go for the tuition of really deserving students. Until you figure out some better way to screen students so that loans get paid back and promises mean something, don't start inventing new ways to pour tax money down the old rat hole. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on powerful Democrats in Congress swiftly rejecting Bill Clinton's plan for the line item veto. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. Though Clinton campaigned hard for a line item veto to help balance the budget, many Dems in Congress still say no to him. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, Bill Clinton isn't even president yet. An ugly gridlock between the president-elect and Congress over the line item veto is already in force. When Bill Clinton decided the other day to test the waters for his line item veto proposal, the Democrat Pirionas in the Senate nearly gnawed his hand off. Bill Clinton is right, Ted. At a time when our country is staring straight down the gullet at record deficits, the very last thing we need are self-centered territorial politicians in the Congress. We must act swiftly to shed the taxpayers of wasteful pork barrel spending. Ted, if you liberals blow this golden opportunity, all of your long and tireless efforts to cover your fannies for creating the deficit will be exposed for all Americans to see. Ted, do a good thing. Give yourself and the taxpayers a break and support Clinton on this one.
Al, I support the line item veto like many other Democrats. We may not see it as a miracle cure that you right-wingers do, but it's a useful part of any strategy to reduce excessive federal spending. 43 governors have it, Al, and there's no reason the president shouldn't have it too. Instead of having to veto an entire spending bill, the president could single out items he doesn't like. Congress would still have the chance to override such a veto. Frankly, I'm glad to hear that you're still for the line item veto, Al. I hope that's true of your Republican colleagues, too. It will be interesting to see how Republicans line up in the coming battle. They were all for the line item veto when President Reagan and President Bush sought it, but with Bill Clinton in the White House, will they still be for the line item veto, Al, or just very still? This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. A new Congress is in session, and the top immediate priority is the confirmation of the Clinton cabinet nominees. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, with Congress officially back in session, the immediate priority is to expedite the confirmation of Bill Clinton's cabinet nominees so the new administration can hit the ground running on Inauguration Day next week. Unfortunately, there's been too much loose talk in recent weeks from some of your Republican partisans about throwing monkey wrenches into the proceedings and obstructing the confirmations. But lately, I'm glad to see, you've eaten a little crow. You've muzzled your hardliners, backed off the threat of early fights, and offered an olive branch to the Clinton administration. That makes sense, Al. Frankly, you didn't have much choice. The Clinton nominees for the cabinet are an impressive group of talented men and women. You and I will differ on future issues, Al, but these nominees pass the test of excellence. They deserve to be confirmed.
What's the matter here, pal? You afraid we'll start treating the Democrat nominees like you treated Republican nominees? Ted, Americans can rest easy knowing that Republicans will not follow the crude Democrat lead of conjuring up false testimony from the mouths of 11th hour star witnesses. And by no stretch will we resort to using anonymous charges from FBI files like you worthies did against John Tower. Ted, the normal and civil process will prevail this time. You bet we're going to make a record. Ask every single nominee a set of tough questions, and if something pops up, we'll pursue it. Don't fret now, pal. Benson and Panetta are true aces in the hole, and Les Aspin and Warren Christopher will hold us on a steady course. As for some of the others, we just don't know enough now to be quite so sure. So, Ted, stop squirming like a worm on a hook. Clinton didn't nominate you. Relax. Ted Kennedy and I would like to hear your face-off topic idea. Send your suggestion to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. Will Clinton's quota cabinet now translate into mandated quotas for all Americans? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Bill Clinton should certainly be commended for selecting such a diverse cabinet. But Ted, we could all see that Clinton was clearly fed up by the last-minute protests launched by the radical feminist groups who shrieked for his head when their 50% quota mandate for women was being ignored. Despite his anguish, Clinton played along with them anyway by picking women to head up the EPA and the Council of Economic Advisers, positions apparently originally slated for two white men. But Clinton surely did not appreciate being told who he could and could not hire by some rabid group. American employers are no different, pal. You see, Ted, they know something you and other liberals just don't get. Discrimination is an evil that strikes at the very heart of the American ideal, and quotas are certainly the ultimate form of discrimination.
Nonsense, Al. Republicans always holler quotas when Democrats try to end discrimination. Bill Clinton deserves credit for keeping his promise to make his cabinet look like America. His choices are impressive. He made them his way, saying no to special interest groups that stepped out of line. E pluribus unum, Al, out of many, one. That's not just a slogan on our coins. Diversity is the essence of democracy, the real strength of America. Democrats understand that, and Republicans deny it. Whatever happened to the party of Lincoln, Al? You used to be the party of civil rights, but now all you do is say no to minority rights, no to equal opportunity here at home, no to action against apartheid in South Africa. It's one big reason you lost the election, Al. The country was tired of leaders who divided America. It was time for a change. Time to end discrimination, not fan its flames higher. Al Simpson and I would like to face off on topics our listeners suggest. Just send your suggestion to this station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Reform of job training is an essential part of revitalizing the economy. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, one of the most urgent aspects of economic reform is job training. The current system is badly flawed. A study last summer by the respected Congressional General Accounting Office documented the disarray. The study identified 125 different federal job training programs run by 14 different agencies, spending $16 billion a year with little or no coordination. 60 different programs are designed for the economically disadvantaged, and 30 different programs are aimed at unemployed and dislocated workers. Let's streamline these programs, Al, and reduce the confusion. Unless we move quickly, we'll suffer needless additional job dislocations in the years ahead as free trade treaties take effect and defense spending is cut back. Job training, Al. Can an old dog like Al Simpson learn a new idea like that?
Ted, old is a relative term. Remember, you and I are two dogs of the same age. Come to think of it, they say that little memory lapses are one of the first signs of age. Well, it must be, pal, for how quickly you forgot that you and your liberal comrades in the Congress have always prided yourselves on the more job training programs, the merrier. It's so obvious to all Americans now that all of those darn good Republican job training bills aimed at correcting your mistakes by streamlining job training programs only made it as far as the circular file under your desk. But now that your nemesis Bush is gone, I suppose it's okay to say that he was right all along, eh, pal? Nobody knows better than a fiscally responsible Republican that our whole economy depends so heavily on a skilled workforce. It's pretty nice to see that you finally agree, too. Ted Kennedy and I would like to face off on a topic that intrigues you. Send your suggestion to this radio station. I'm Al Simpson on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. President Bush did the right thing by pardoning Cap Weinberger and the other five Iran-Contra figures. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, Mr. Lawrence Walsh, who has only zilch to show for his six-year multimillion-dollar investigation, has now vowed to take bloody revenge on George Bush. This threat cuts right to the core of Walsh's entire investigation, the presidency itself and winning it back. Has been the real target all along for Walsh and his zealous crew of partisan, ambitious, inexperienced, and incompetent attorneys. Ted, Walsh has been holding tight to Bush's interview notes since 88 and hiding Weinberger's notes since 90. Those notes don't contain anything incriminating. By all means, Ted, let's have a congressional hearing so some searing light can be shed on the activities of Mr. Walsh's own office. If we're going to babble on about abuse of power and attempts to twist the truth and influencing elections, the office of the independent counsel is just the place to see where the real scandal lies.
Al, it's hard to avoid the feeling that President Bush's actions were a gross abuse of the pardon power. In effect, the president was continuing the Iran-Contra cover-up and pardoning himself, too. High officials are not above the law, Al, not even the president. Yet that's the message these pardons conveyed, and that's why the country was outraged. It was fatuous for President Bush to pretend that the charges against Cap Weinberger were attempts to criminalize policy differences. Under our system of checks and balances, Congress has the right and the duty to oversee the executive branch. When wrongdoing by executive officials occurs, Congress has the right and the obligation to get to the bottom of it. President Bush violated that basic principle, and he'll pay a high price for it, just as President Ford paid a high price for pardoning Richard Nixon. Al Simpson and I would like to face off on topics our listeners suggest. Just send your suggestion to this station. I'm Ted Kennedy on the Mutual Broadcasting System.